translation. Previously, all the great sages rendered service under the personality of Godhead due to his existence above the three modes of material nature. They worshipped him to become free from material conditions and thus derive the ultimate benefit. Whoever follows such great authorities is also eligible for liberation from the material world, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The purpose of performing religion is neither to profit by material gain, nor to get the simple knowledge of discerning matter from spirit. The ultimate aim of religious performances is to release oneself from the material bondage and regain the life of freedom in the transcendental world, where the personality of Godhead is the supreme person. Laws of religion, therefore, are directly enacted by the personality of Godhead, and except for the Mahajans or the authorized agents of the Lord, no one knows the purpose of religion. There are 12 particular agents of the Lord who know the purpose of religion, and all of them render transcendental service unto him. Persons who desire their own good may follow these Mahajans and thus attain the supreme benefit. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tenamne Namaste Saraswati Devam Goravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shivadi Pashkati Desatan. Previously, all the great sages rendered service under the personality of Godhead due to his existence above the three modes of material nature. They worshipped him to become free from material conditions and thus derive the ultimate benefit. Whoever follows such great authorities is also eligible for liberation from the material world. So here clearly the goal of Krishna consciousness is defined. It is above religion. Just imagine our main book, Bhagavad Gita, at the end, Krishna says, get rid of all the religion. It's a pretty shocking statement. People saying, I'm religious, I'm worshipping God, and he's telling me to get rid of religion. What is this? No, what Krishna actually means is to get rid of religion for material purpose. Yeah. Give me, give me, give me. That's the basic prayer you find. Because we know, and a religious person will know, that God is the all-powerful, the all-knowledgeable, the all the richest, the most beautiful one. All the opulences are there. So naturally you will be inclined to turn to such a person to gain some favors. Krishna is actually hesitant to do so, because Krishna's main purpose is that we get liberated from this world, not accommodated in it. This is not the direction to go. Yeah. So material prayers are directed towards the well-being in this world, and Krishna's main message is to get out of this world, leave, not to stay. So Krishna is very clearly in a great detail defining in Bhagavad Gita that this is actually not a place to stay. And you will never get comfortable. Maya has a wonderful welcome for us. It's like you welcome somebody to a lunch. Big dinner. Big hall. Big table. Many chairs. Obviously it's going to be a big party. And the servant comes, please. Welcome to our big lunch, to our big party, big dinner. Sit down. And just as you think, oh, that's very nice. He prepares the chair like in a restaurant. And just before you sit down, he goes, actually, I forgot, this chair is reserved. So maybe you can take this chair. And you go, okay. Then you switch to another chair. Just before you sit down, he goes, oh, I can see the chair. It's not really, it's a little bit damaged. You can take this chair. And just before you sit down, he offers you another chair. And just before you sit down, he offers you another chair. So how long do you last like this with such a welcome? After 10 chairs, you go, hey, what are you doing with me here? I'm supposed to sit down here. And you say, oh, sorry, you can shift to this position. So this is how Maya treating us. There's always something missing. We always go, No, there is some pinching. Prabhupada said Maya has a pinching effect. Always, pop-pick. And we go just, okay, I will sit somewhere else. And then we try to resettle again. And pop, we go, this wasn't the real thing either, isn't it? You know, and then we go, no. This is called migration. We are migrating all over the planet from one location to another just to settle down and going, And then it's again, pop. We go, And we migrate to another location. Pop. And at the end, when we are facing the death, we go, well, this wasn't the real thing, you know. I didn't achieve my goal, so I'm not happy. Krishna goes, really? You want to try again? You know? Yeah. Then he gives us another body. So we go again, start the whole thing. Pow! You know? Lifetime after lifetime. Getting cheated. Being pinched and moved from one location to the other. Actually, risking the ultimate risk is, Prabhupada said, you lose the human form of life. There are not so many. It's 8,400,000 pieces. There is just 400,000 is considered somewhat human. Amongst that is, again, not that many which facilitate Krishna consciousness, really. So, and it's very short, especially in Kali Yuga. You get born, you go, one and one is two. Because everybody is born blanked out. Forgetfulness. There's no philosophizing babies. Everybody's, you know, he was a big philosopher in the last lifetime. After 9 months, he comes out going, this is the beginning of life. Completely blanked out. Forget everything. Material is spoken, all is all blanked out. And then he starts to go again. Okay, one and one is two. And just by the time we learn a little bit something, we are supposed to learn, right? And we know a little bit something, then we are dying. And death is also sometimes accompanied by increased amount of ignorance again. So, born as a fool, dying as a fool, next life. This is in a summary of what's going on. So, Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada stressed the point, the time is precious. This morning you never get back. It's finished. The clock is ticking. It's gone. And we always think, oh, happy new year. Come on, what are they celebrating? They died 1 year more. You're celebrating to be closer to death, actually. That's called celebration. They go, hell, new year, 2018, welcome. Well, 2017 is gone. Just if you accept that counting, which is in itself quite illusory, but let's say they count. The Chinese people will say, no, the new year is in February. And the Indian people, they of course copy everything. So they go, happy new year. Well, what is this to do with India? Nothing. One of the most bizarre displays I saw was Christmas tree in New Delhi. You know. They put a new... What is Christmas tree doing in Delhi? But Indians, they go, very nice, very nice. And they put some offering on it to Durga, you know, on a Christmas tree or something like this. Yeah, very nice. Acha, acha. You know, they don't have problem to worship Durga and Christmas tree simultaneously. So it's like a little bit confused. So we don't have to just copy something because somebody is doing it. One of the most essential things in Krishna consciousness, and that's what we learn from Srila Prabhupada, is to ask, why? Why are you doing this? What is the reason? What is the purpose, please? You know, yeah. So it's the most bizarre thing sometimes they think, or they used to think in Germany. I joined this, I'm not a German, but I grew up joining in Germany. So it was a heavy propaganda. When you join Hare Krishna movement, you lose your brain. You will just go, Hare Krishna, and that's it. You know, it was a heavy propaganda. Prabhupada said very simple. He said, what are they talking about, brainwashing and losing brain? There is no brain. There's nothing to lose. It's already gone. He said, first we give brain,
then we wash.
You know. So this is actually a brain-giving movement. Because we don't copy things blindly. We don't follow blindly. Prabhupada didn't like that. How many times he said, do you understand what I'm saying? And devotees say, yes, Srila Prabhupada. Well, actually, not many understand. I mean, you know, those who watched, I quoted story. I really like that story. Prabhupada in a morning walk, walking down with devotees somewhere in a rich area in America, you know, somewhere Beverly Hills, I don't know what. And then Prabhupada says, look at this big house, opulent big house. Prabhupada said, it was in the early stage, just Prabhupada and some hippies, you know. So they just, Prabhupada said, one day we are going to have such a big house for Krishna. Devotees, joy, Prabhupada. I mean, when we were close to Prabhupada, nothing was impossible. Things start, I mean, devotees very quickly got the glimpse of it. When Prabhupada says something, most probably it will happen. It was amazing. Out of nowhere, people came and did it. So they were going, joy, Prabhupada. Then a big car came around the corner, a big limousine. Prabhupada said, one day we are going to have a big car for Krishna like this. Devotees were going, joy, Prabhupada. And then a big dog came out of nowhere. And Prabhupada said, one day we are going to have a big dog like this for Krishna. We're going, joy, Prabhupada. Prabhupada stopped and he said, what do you mean, you fools? What are you going to do with a big dog? And they realized that this joy, Prabhupada, there's some meaning to it. So we should know what we are doing. Prabhupada sometimes even commented, humorously he appreciated, but he said, yeah, so much ecstasy, so much bliss, because you cannot avoid it to be blissful when you come close to Prabhupada. You cannot imagine in this temple room what happened when Prabhupada was sitting there. I was standing somewhere there in this spot. Prabhupada was in his chair there. They brought him down. That was the last time he was in Bhaktivedanta Manor. You can't imagine. This temple room is actually became very small. It was so packed. I don't know, there must have been at least 250, 300 devotees in this room. It was packed. Srila Prabhupada was brought down the stairs. It was a very, very intense atmosphere because most devotees, they didn't want to talk about this, but they knew. That's probably the last time we see Prabhupada. They brought him down the stairs. They put him there. Tamakrishna Maharaj was standing next to him. And the Guru Puja started. It was very intense. Prabhupada didn't like it. He had a very swollen hands and his hands were going like... And as he was going like this, the midangas were going... And everybody was... just heading for the ceiling. It was immediately like a wave going through the devotees like this. I was standing there, I was saying, that's how Mahavishnu is looking over the Mahatattva and the creation takes place. Just by his look. So many things happened. So Prabhupada did just like this and poof, everybody was up. It was a ferocious kirtan going, you know. Prabhupada liked it hot. It became so hard. This Guru Puja was very intense. And there were all kinds of things starting happening, you know. There was a very old lady, I don't know, she must have already left the body by now. She was standing there in a corner. And she brought, for Guru Puja, she brought such a big pile of lilies, you know, white lilies. And she wanted to actually, you know, she said, we will all come to Prabhupada and offer him something. It was not possible. It was so jammed, it was just heavy kirtan going on. And I looked. This lady must have been at least 70 years old. I mean, she was going over the wooden, you know, covering of the wall. She was, Haripal! She was high up in the sky, bop, just jumping with these big, you know, flowers there. And then she realized she will never be able to come in front and give it to Prabhupada. So she took it from that corner there and she threw it with an incredible force. And these white lilies came flying all over the devotees and they were grabbing it in the air, throwing it further on Prabhupada. You know, that was the Guru Puja. And Prabhupada liked it really hot. Then there was a short lecture, actually more recollection. Ramakrishna Maharaj, because Prabhupada couldn't speak much. So Ramakrishna Maharaj recollected how they started to preach and was kind of going in a bag, and Prabhupada was going, sometimes we preached from a garage. That was actually an incident which did happen. So devotees got kicked out of the temple and Prabhupada ended up having a Sunday feast in a garage. So that's where anytime I come to this place, I get distracted. I cannot stay with the Bhagavatam because I see Prabhupada everywhere, up there in a room and all this. It's very intense here because this place is extremely blessed. This is the last place in the West Prabhupada actually visited. And that was the last time we had the opportunity to see him. So the atmosphere was very intense here. I could give you minute by minute anytime I start to recollect that. You know, just by being part of it, watching this. This by I came here 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, in the door here. I was never before in England. I don't know how I made it. I came Saturday night back from Sankirtan in Germany. The temple was empty. And I said, what happened? The police came again because we used to be, you know, brought to jail. So that was kind of expected. I said, oh, the police took all the devotees again. No. It was the last devotee running out of the door and said, Prabhupada is in London. I said, what? Because, you know, we knew Prabhupada is in a very critical condition in Vrindavan. So I was going, what? London, Prabhupada. So, you know, I was, you know, 22 years old, so no problem. Just empty out the last books from the car, turn the car around, some devotees jumped in my car and we drove to London. I never was in London. I never drove on the left side. I end up in some place called Piccadilly Circus, and I drove around and around and around. So I was going, and I knew Watford, that's the name. And I was looking for signs, you know, and somehow or other I just found it. Somehow or other, I made it to Bhaktivedanta Mena coming around 10:30 here in the morning in the parking lot. It was still here, the small one. There was nothing of this here, Goshala, nothing. There was just the park and the building. So I parked the car and jumped out. We were German devotees. It was very loud. We were the number one in the whole place on Sankirtan. Yes, Germans are coming. So we just jumped out of the cars, you know, and just, and it was completely quiet here. First devotee came out going, psh, 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 psh. Everybody was tiptoeing, and it was very intense. So we immediately, I came here in, everybody was softly chanting here. It was very intense. So I was just, wow, 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 wow. And by middle of the day, I chanted my Gayatri here, and my GBC came in a door here. He was going, sss, hey, sss, 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 sss. I was going, chanting my Gayatri. He was going, sss, sss. So I broke everything up, came up. He grabbed me and he pushed me the stairs up all the way into Prabhupada's sleeping room. And there was Prabhupada. I was never that close to him. You know, there was a third time I saw him, but I was never that close. It was very cramped. You know, there was maybe 5-6 of us. And Ramakrishna Maharaj was opening the mail for Prabhupada and reading it out, showing it to him, and Prabhupada gave short comments and he noted, and then he kind of answered the mail for him because Prabhupada didn't do it anymore. So I stood up sitting that close to Prabhupada's lotus feet. I couldn't breathe. I was just, you know, it was so intense. And I was introduced by Ajibi Sis Manidhara, one of the foremost book distributors in Germany, and Prabhupada didn't even look at me. I was going, oh, I'm so lucky he's not looking at me. I would run out of that room, you know. It was so intense. And then Ramakrishna Maharaj opened the envelope, and then came a big photo from the Los Angeles Ratayatra. Kind of big, colorful photo. Prabhupada opened his eyes, and he said, I always wanted such a big Ratha. You know, such a big Ratayatra card, even as a small boy. You know, so Ramakrishna Maharaj noted that down. Then an envelope came up with a book in it. I don't know, some soft-bound book, newly published. Oh, Prabhupada opened his eyes. He reached out for the book. And actually, he did something amazing. He took it and he tested the binding like this. Then he put the book on his lap. His chin came up and he was like, my book. Transcendental pride. Krishna is here, my book. Prabhupada said, whenever one of my books get published, I feel like I conquer the whole universe. So I realized, this is important to Prabhupada. Books. To be published, and books to be distributed. So, that was very vivid. So, that was it. Then came the crisis moment. Prabhupada was brought to the hospital. There was, behind his windows, the ambulance came up. And we were just chanting, praying to Lord Nrisimhadev for hours until the ambulance came back again. And the next day, Prabhupada said, I want to see the German devotees. Wow, that was something. The Germans were coming up. Yeah, of course. The relationship between German devotees those days and English one was very peculiar. And the English devotees looked upon the Germans a little bit like the savage type, Nazi type, you know. It's like, and we did act like that. I can give you details here about this temple room. And after the Mangala Arati, Tulasi came up. And the Germans, in Germany we had ecstatic kirtan leaders. You know, every kirtan was just, even Tulasi was not, you know, Tulasi Krishna Tulasi. No. It didn't took 1 minute and it was just Tulasi Krishna prayas. You know. And there was a habituation which was completely unknown to the English, you know. English was the fine English way, you know, just please. And the Germans was like the rugby team, you know, coming in. And there was a habit that they locked themselves up around the tulasi like this. And they danced so fast, it was like a spinning wheel. And then still from outside, the devotees jumped on it and they were flying around like this. Tulasi is not prayers. You know, everything was a mode of passion, actually. We were all young guys, you know. And I remember after the Tulasi Arati, everybody bowed down and quite upset. Pujari came out here out of, then he took the Tulasi from the Germans, you know, just to protect Tulasi from these savages. You know, that was the mood those days. Prabhupada said it in Germany. He said, when he visited, he said, the ecstasy is good, bliss is good, but little brain is required. We were just young guys, you know. So, this is my memories when I come here. And Prabhupada wanted to see the Germans. Oh, we were rushing up the stairs, all of us. The bedroom was packed. They were saying, we couldn't even breathe. And Prabhupada was sitting there again in his chair there, you know. And it was silence. We were waiting until Prabhupada drops the final question. How many books did you distribute? He didn't do that. After quite prolonged silence, he said, do you know the philosophy?
You were like,
what? Philosophy? What philosophy? What? Why is he asking this? Everybody was shocked. What? Philosophy? It was not the number one issue in Germany, you know. Work. Give it all out. That was the mood. So, it was shocking. Prabhupada knew exactly where the missing point is. He put the finger right away there. And then one of my godbrothers, he just squeaked out. Haraka, he just squeaked out, Sarva Dharma Paritya Mavikam Saranam Raja. Prabhupada said, yes, what does it mean? And then Prithu Prabhu came up and he gave some short explanation. Prabhupada said, yes. And that was it. We realized the darshan is over. And everybody paid obeisances and walked out. And we were like, what did he say? Philosophy. Oh, philosophy. It was a big vacuum there. So Prabhupada put us right away on spot. These books are to be studied. These books are to be read. And on the basis of that, if you know what you have in a hand, now we will never really know, but you can appreciate. That appreciation spills out into our preaching. Because however we try to impress the philosophy upon people, well, let's see if there is something on the other side we can impress to. Any Sankhita devotee knows, when you go out there, most people are not interested in philosophy, they are interested in shopping, you know, and buying, and selling, and selling, and buying, and shopping. That's the mood. So how do you want to preach philosophy in such a, you know, yeah? You can stand there and going, this is Veda, and they go, I want ice cream. You know, what do you want? It's not a place really to give big lectures. But Prabhupada wanted his books going out massively. So when the time comes and people cool a little bit down and they maybe they get some idea, they can open the book. The books are very patient preachers. You know, they don't jump on you. They don't abuse you. They're just sitting there waiting until finally something happens in your life which makes you actually induce you to reach for the book. I can tell you stories about what these books did to people. But the timing has to be right. And that we cannot control. We don't know when he is going to reach out for the book. But we should be there when he comes back and has some questions. Certainly. It's not like, you know, I have a question. What is this? And we go, just buy another book. That's good. Yeah, he should buy another book. But when he has a question, we should be able to answer. Otherwise, people think we are just really brainwashed. Fanatics. Fanatics have no answers. And they actually have no questions either. That is, Prabhupada didn't like that. He liked devotees to be prepared for challenges. And actually, if you touch even Prabhupada's books, you get the glimpse of it. It's beautiful. You become undefeatable. Sometimes people got so upset, he said, you speak like you know everything. It's upsetting to people. How can you dare to know everything? You go, no, I don't know anything, but, you know, the Shastra here, the book. I used to be Scandinavia for a long time, and we had lots of school programs. Students just coming, you know, because they don't know anything, and the teachers don't know anything. So as soon as the Hinduism came up, they were going, Hare Krishna, they call us. And we don't mind. We're going, Hindu? Yeah, right. Come in. It was just a straight out Bhagavad Gita lecture. And it's amazing. I said, you have some questions? I think this is young people. In my generation, we had only questions. We question everything. As soon as the teacher said something, we said, why? Please explain. How? You have to learn about the ants in a tropical forest. That's education. We said, why? Why should I learn about ants? Well, the ants are there, I know that. And they are doing their own thing. What is this to do with me? And that was even before I met Prabhupada. We had this kind of, just imagine a classroom full of guys like this. The teacher was going crazy. He was going, this is cool. We are teaching here about ants in a Brazilian rainforest. You were going, why? that's cool, we're teaching this. He said, why are you teaching this? The teachers were going crazy. He said, you must learn it. He said, why? And it's actually a relevant question. I'm not interested in ants, what they are doing. Well, they are doing their thing. What can I do about it? They're not interested in me, I'm not interested in them. You know, they do their thing. What is this to do with my life? And when you study education today, it's all about things which has actually nothing to do with people's lives. You know, educated man. He knows everything what is not to be known. That's very educated. Even Krishna is selective. He goes to Arjuna and says, don't be carried away by the flowery language of the Vedas. He is the origin of the Vedas. He goes, just stay to the essentials. And this is what Prabhupada did. He makes something very big, very essentially and very simply presented to us so we can get the point. What is the essence? But with our desire for distinction, with our, Prabhupada called it fertile brains, there's something growing always, we make it complicated again. Prabhupada didn't ask sometimes devotees, you know, did you study the philosophy? Oh yeah, he did that also. But the essence of this, he asked, are you happy? And of course when Prabhupada asked such a question, devotees were screaming in ecstasy. You couldn't be unhappy in the presence of Prabhupada, impossible. So, you know, devotees, ah! You know, I said, this is the proof in the taste, you know. What's the use of studying Krishna consciousness, chanting 60 rounds a day when you become like a miserable wretch? No joke, no humor, nothing. Actually, that attracted me to Krishna consciousness. I said, hey, even God can make jokes. I never heard this before. You don't get it in a Christian packaging, sorry. God is very serious. And he has two functions, to control and to punish. Very inspiring to be very loving to a person like this. Something like police. You know, nobody goes out on the street and says, I love the police, we have such a dynamic exchange, so wonderful. Not really. We appreciate police, they are there and they should do their job to control and eventually to punish or restrict. That's okay. Well, it doesn't facilitate really that kind of loving exchange. So that presentation of God was not attractive very much to me. But when I met devotees, so much bliss. So much taste. So much happiness. We used to be so happy, you know, that while distributing Prabhupada's books, we used to be so happy we couldn't sleep. We still could eat, that's for sure. Prasadam was never neglected. But we really couldn't sleep. I was sleeping in the Brahmacharya ashram with devotees who were whole day distributing books. Midnight, I woke up and there was a devotee sitting in a sleeping bag next to me. And he was smiling. And he was going, if you can give a little bit more. But he was sleeping. He was distributing books while sleeping. We were so submerged in the whole thing that, I mean, there was... Even the question which is often asked today, how do you feel, Prabhu? Oh boy, if somebody would ask that at that time, how do you feel? I said, well, I don't know, I have to go to the toilet. I don't know, I feel something. Yeah, Prabhu! That's also extreme, of course. We have a feeling. And we have thinking, feeling, and willing. The three types of symptoms of consciousness. So of course we take these things seriously. But feelings change, thinking too. And desires, they change all the time. So why should we so profoundly discuss that? Prabhu, what do you think? Well, I don't know, it's changed already. What do you feel? Well, that changed too. And what do you want? I don't know, something I want for sure. But there's so many desires coming up, I don't know what I want. It's not actually what we are focusing on. We are purifying thinking, feeling and willing by directing it to Krishna, by listening what he thinks, what he feels and what he wants. That's the real thing. When we understand what Krishna thinks, what he feels and what he wants, and we, as one of my Gurbaris define it, become one in desire. It's a dangerous thing to become one. Prabhupada didn't like a few words. There was actually two words you could agitate Prabhupada instantly. Merge and chance. I know even from one of his servants, he shaved Prabhupada in Mayapur. And he said, now we take the hair and we merge it in a Ganga. Like throwing in a Ganga, you know. And Prabhupada raised his eyes and said, merging? Never. It was just about hair. He really didn't like that vocabulary, merging now. And chance? Prabhupada said, by chance I will slap you. And don't complain, it was just a chance. My hand was just by chance. Pop. Why are you complaining? It's all by chance. Why to get upset? It's all by chance. And I will kick you too, by chance. You know, no problem. So Prabhupada was very allergic to this kind of expressions. He was immediately activated. Because essentially it doesn't exist. Nothing is merging and nothing happens by chance. Everything has a reason, and we keep our individual identity eternally. It's clearly established in the Bhagavad Gita. So understanding that and making this the basis of our preaching, then success is coming. It must come. Krishna says, you will be successful. There will be difficult periods for sure. But when you just persistently stay personal, stay, you know, personally focused, there will be response. We are forcing people to be personalists. In some countries, they really hate this. I don't want to insult some nationalities here, but I know countries where they really hate you when you try to become personal. They don't like this. They say, no, not so close. That's too much. You know, I am a number, you are a number. You know, we can be on Facebook. As the joke goes, two dogs have a web page. And one dog says to the other, hey, I hope they will never realize we are dogs. Because you never know out there. The virtual world, it can be very illusory one. Even you see the picture, it doesn't tell you much. But when you meet that person personally, oh, that's where it starts. Therefore, Prabhupada, vocabulary destroyed his body by traveling. He said, I have to give personal association. He wanted to travel so much that even as the doctor said, this body is not functionable anymore. Actually, he already died. And Prabhupada came to England just to give association. Just imagine what a blessed place this is. He said, I have to go. And there was a discussion where to go at that time. There was American, of course, devotees want to pull him over to Los Angeles, you know. And then everybody was propagating and pushing. Hey, Prabhupada is on the move. That was always very critical thing. They were even tempting Prabhupada. Prabhupada, it's very nice climate here. It wasn't so nice, you know. They were lying to him, just trying to get him over, to come over. And Prabhupada was using it. He said, I will come when you distribute more books. You know, marathon. You know, he was actually using this. But to England, he came on his own. Just to, you know, you could say to exhibit his last pastime. Because the Prabhupada I met here, that was not the Prabhupada I met before. I always had the picture of Prabhupada, you know, going with a can, you know, let's kick the scientists, heavy preaching. You know, that was the Prabhupada I meditated upon. But the Prabhupada I met here, that was Prabhupada already in Vaikuntha. He wasn't here. The exchanges, his top level of activated devotional service, dynamic. Just to be close to Prabhupada, he was going from one ecstasy to the other. And we were all, there were so many things going on, just being close to him. But we couldn't see what's going on, but we knew there is a lot of things going on. He was rocked by ecstasies from one minute to another, from one second to the other, and we were just, oh, you know. You could just chant and watch. It was very intense. So that was an idea. We got a glimpse of it. Spiritual world is really something going on, you know. Here, we are just pushed around by the three modes of nature. You know,
I am hungry. Then I have to go to the toilet. Then I have to sleep.
It's very monotone life in this body, actually. People think there is so many things going on, but actually it's quite repetitive. And you know, the body doesn't offer that much refined perception as the spiritual body does. They have a really something going on there, I tell you. And that was visible through Srila Prabhupada to anybody. Anybody. Anybody coming close to Prabhupada could feel, now, this is spiritual world. Especially here in that moment. So, I didn't go to this. So, by following such a Mahajan, that's actually what constitutes our spiritual life. Especially for those who come from India, there is something to look back. There is some background. Maybe you find in your family the grandfather was already chanting, you know, worshipping. What my grandfather did, I couldn't even mention here in a lecture. That's my background. Before my mother died, she revealed to me how I appeared in this world a little bit, quite accidentally. But she was very dutiful, and my father was very dutiful. So they got married. Since she was pregnant, they got married. Okay. It's called Vana Shankara. I'm a perfect example of that. That's my background. Where do you come from? From a garbage can. That's where I come from. This is the Western way to appear in this world. How I became devotee? Why me? And why not him? I don't understand until today. I have no idea. How is it possible I was 18 years old, I could do anything, any crazy thing. But somehow or other, I got captured by the devotees who were manifesting Prabhupada's preaching spirit so vigorously, their vocabulary kidnapped me. The preaching those days was quite heavy, especially in Germany. Oh my God, it was like joining an army. You know, so you know, the first preacher who looked at me, I'm not going to mention names now, he's still preaching like this. He said, where are you going? And I said, well, I came to visit. I go home now. And he looked in front of all the brahmacharis sitting there. He said, he goes home to mama. That was the beginning of the preaching. I felt so insulted, you know. I was going, I don't live with my mama anymore. The next day, I sit now next to him, taking prasadam, and he just grabbed my hair. You know, I had a little bit longer. I was not a real hippie. I never made it into, because I was not taking drugs, and I was not chasing ladies. So that was finished. I didn't get any initiation into the hippie movement. I failed. So, you know, so, and he was sitting next to me, and he suddenly reached out and grabbed my hair. And he said, this would be the right haircut for you. I was going, oh. His policy was, first you shave them up, then they're afraid to go home. I was going, oh, no. Not very subtle, you know. You know, it didn't really work, because there was not some philosophical foundation to this. But physically sometimes, yeah, it did work. They didn't go home. They were shocked. Even sometimes, the same devotee, I'm not going to mention the name, but you may find out who I'm talking about. He opened his suitcase, I met him, and there was a shaving machine. And he was going, yeah, I was thinking, hey, it's still, after 50 years, he's still on the same trip. Let's get them. It's not very subtle preaching, really. And it doesn't work all the time. But it worked on me. And I had no problem to go home because I had no home. I didn't know. And I was, my parents, they were very dutiful parents, very, very responsible, morally based people, actually, definitely. All glories to my parents. But still, I had so many questions, they had no answers. But the power of these devotees and the bliss, they swept me away. I never spoke one word to anybody before I joined the movement, you know that? But I like to speculate. That was good. I never talked to anybody. What to speak of going out and selling books to people on the street? That's the last thing. I hated people. And they put me after 3 days being shaved and dirty on the street and left me there alone. And I was like, ah! In those days, you know, it was not London. It was Germany. They never saw devoted people. They looked at me going, everybody had this. And I was standing there. I felt like I died. This is just from another lifetime. I was reborn again. I don't know. I just felt like this is not real. That was the introduction to Sankirtan for me. But I knew one thing. I'm not going to go back to this anymore. To sit there in a room and trying to be genius. Alone. I'd rather be with the brahmacharis. Who had a very rough way to deal with me. But they were there. And they were very personal. By the time I started to distribute the first books, they were going, yeah, that's what you want. And I felt, whew, I am now part of it. There was no way to let a devotee down at that time. If a police on the street would come and capture me, another brahmachari would come around the corner and said, you have to capture me too. And another came from the Sankirtan body and said, me too. We are going together to the police station. And they realized, the more we catch, the more are coming. It's getting problematic here. You know. So there was no way. There was such a loyalty between devotees, in a frame of preaching, of course. This is our relationship. Prabhupada in the center, preaching in the center, and suddenly so many things will be easy. Prabhupada, I like you, I hate you. Yeah, I may hate you, I may like you, but we preach together. And suddenly, not so difficult. Not so difficult. I distribute book, you distribute book. I preach, you preach. That's the mediation. Let's preach together. Let's serve Krishna together. And suddenly, old, young, this and that, not so important. I still go out sometimes with young devotees, you know. Suddenly, oh my God, this could be my son, you know. No, I don't feel like this at all. We are Sankirtan devotees. So what? I say the same thing I said when I was on the street, you know, 40 years ago. I still distribute to schoolgirls, you know. Hello. And they go, ah. And I think, oh my God, I'm 64 years old, you know. It looks quite an old, dirty man here. No, they don't care, and I don't care either. The major thing is they take the book. They go, ah. And they take the book. That's important. And I go, ah, it's nice. I had an incident some years ago in Sweden. There's not many people on the street, you know. So you grab anybody you can. It's an empty country. There's nothing there. It's exactly opposite to India. In India, you go on the street and you go, and somebody's pushing you. There's people everywhere. If you want to find out the Shastric statement that life is everywhere, you have to go to India. You know, they are everywhere. You see, what is it? But there's places on this planet which are exactly opposite. There's trees, there's rivers, mountains, and then once a week, one person comes. You see, hey, that's him! There are such places. It's called Sweden, anyway. So I distribute something like this. And the only one I could grab on the street was 4 girls coming from the school, just middle of the day. It was nothing. And I was with a young bhakta out there. So I was again, you know, hello, and la, 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 and the girls always laughing, you know. So they laugh even when they don't know why they laugh, but they laugh. Anyway, so they 2 girls took a book and they went around the corner. There was the bhakta standing there, and because there was nobody there, he offered them also a book. So they said, no, we got already the book from the young man. And he was going, what, young man? We are only 2 devotees here. So he came around the corner, he looked at me like, He said, there's some other devotees here. I met girls. I said, you know, he's like, we got the books from the young man. I smiled. He said, Navayauvanam, you are ever fresh, always youthful. You see, that's called Sankirtan. Nobody will take book just because I'm old. Forget it. They will take book because I'm alive. As Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, preacher must be alive. Dead stone cannot preach. So what's the use of me becoming a very old senior Vaishnava? Yes. I'm so senior like an old tree you have out there, you know, this. Sometimes a branch falls off. And it's rotten inside. It's called old tree. That's my horror in my head. I said, not like this. I want to stay alive. And how do you stay alive in Krishna consciousness? You must preach. And stay alive with the new flow of the conditioned souls coming in. That keeps you alive. That's the real life in Krishna consciousness. Here they are coming. And I tell you, they are the same. I don't see any difference really much. I joined 1972, but when I see sometimes a new bhakta coming in, he looks to me exactly like from 1973. I think, hey, I know him. No, now he is 2018, okay. But actually, they look even the same, and they have the same problems, the same questions. I feel mental. Why do I feel depressed? You know? You see, because he don't take prasadam. Then he take prasadam, they go, I feel not so much depressed. And then you preach. Preach how? People must feel welcomed. Yesterday I was so impressed. There are not many places like England. Believe me. And I don't want to put anybody down. But the way people are here, almost registered, I have to say. You know, yesterday, you know, in the Sunday feast, Soho temple, the devotee gets up next to me and goes, so, you heard the lecture, who is the first time here? And then they go, me. You go, oh, welcome. I mean, it was a Polish lady. She was so overpowered, you know. She was like, now they welcome me here. And all the word is, joy, welcome. And then immediately he said, and there is a Mataji there standing there, she can take care of you. She felt like, hey, I'm coming home. When you come home, they are welcome and they will take care of you. That atmosphere being created, that's already 90% of the preaching. You know, because people are emotional, they are sentimental, and they are alone. This society is creating lonely people. So this is basis. We have to keep that mood. This is a movement which is supposed to take care of people. Not unconditionally. They have to want. But Prabhupada said, first welcome him. First make him chant Hare Krishna. Then comes the rules and regulations. That's how Prabhupada started to preach. He was just there for the hippies. And they were talking all kinds of stuff. And, you know, and people always was going, yes, 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 yes. Yeah, yes, yes. Just take prasadam. Yes, yes. And then chant Hare Krishna. Yes, 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 yes. I mean, you know how much garbage he had to hear? How much nonsense he had to listen to? Prabhupada was doing his thing. They said, oh, Swamiji, he's doing his thing. And then we are the hippies and we are just Hare Krishna fall and the prasadam. And then Prabhupada gradually created a ground where they start to ask questions. And Prabhupada gave always that much they could take. And they got curious. There's more? Actually, up to the point, one of the hippies, he said, Prabhupada, there are more rules and regulations. Prabhupada said, if I would tell them all to you, you will all leave. And I will be alone here again sitting. So I'm not going to tell you. He was very honest. But the more they could take, he immediately added, immediately upgraded. And how quickly that went. You follow chronologically the picture or the recordings of the first Sunday feast, you know, when
Swamiji is like Buddha.
That was the realizations. They were all intoxicated. 2 years down the line, you have a fixed brahmachari. 3 years down the line, you have a sannyasi standing there. How is it possible to do this after completely hallucinated people with LSD coming out of their ears? What did Prabhupada do? Amazing. And if you try to preach, you realize how amazing it is what Prabhupada has done in such a short period of time. Here now today we are preaching and we are presenting and we are trying to be accommodating and this, and still people go, well, you know, that's your opinion. Well, you know, I will think about it. Prabhupada was just looking like this in your eyes. And he said, why don't you stay here? You like it? Yeah, I like it. Then do it. People were shocked. Doing it? Now? Suppose that? Yes. Now. And they did it. That's amazing. You have to be very pure to preach that straight. So all this we find in Prabhupada. Therefore, we have no other chance as following the Mahajans, which we cannot make a phone call here to Narada Muni, and we cannot, you know, sorry, but it doesn't work like this. But we have Prabhupada's books. We have so much reference to Prabhupada. So much evidence is there in recorded form, in book form. There is so many testimonies. There is so much to learn from Prabhupada. Actually, I made my own dictionary about Prabhupada. Just from Prabhupada. You can tell me anything. Food, Prabhupada quoting. Sleeping, Prabhupada quoting. Can give you a quote almost on anything from Prabhupada. You know, he commented on anything. If you study and follow what he said, how he said it, to whom he said it, when did he said it. There's so much to learn about Prabhupada. And life becomes very interesting. Suddenly when you hear, we have Shastra Chakshu, sees the world with the eyes of the Shastra. In a practical terms, that means for us, this is the world through the eyes of Prabhupada. That's the practical application. And when you see the world around you like this, it starts to get very interesting. So this is what, you know, what is ensuring our safety in Krishna consciousness. To see the world through the eyes of Srila Prabhupada. So I have to end, actually. I have to head for the airport. So I cannot prolong this. So thank you very much for being able to sit in this holy place, remembering Prabhupada. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj is very special. This is where Prabhupada said the last hello to us. This is here where he was already in Vaikuntha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.